Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Brightest Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I am the managing editor of Brightest Young Things and the host of this here podcast slash radio show. You are currently listening to Full Service Radio. You'll know it's Full Service Radio because all of the bumpers sound like your computer is melting. With me today is photojournalist and friend Armando.
Hello, everybody.
No, what's your whole name?
Gallardo.
Armando Gallardo. Yes. I'm not racist, but Armando is an actual friend of mine in addition to being an actual journalist. I know he's an actual journalist because he's been in trouble with the law for hitting a button on his camera. Is that true?
That is true.
Great. That's how you know someone's an actual journalist. Speaking of racism, one of the things that we do on British Young Things every week is publish a series of features. This week's features are very fun and flirty. Because it's the end of the year, one of the features that we have is 18 words we hope to not hear in 2018. My words are literally and the worst, or worst blank. Literally, for obvious reasons, because every time you use the word literally, you literally sound like a teenager, so that's why you shouldn't use the word literally. And the worst, because everything in 2018, or sorry, I apologize, everything in 2017 is better than it was in 1917. And if you're like, well, Brandon Wade, I was a landowner and a white man, I'll go, okay, fine. Let's go 1817, and then you were going to die at 40. So no matter what, things are always better than they were 100 years ago. Therefore, it's not the worst. It's time to put things into perspective. So because I'm not racist, Armando, what's a phrase you hope to never hear again in 2018?
I'm not racist, but.
Have you heard that a lot in 2017?
Yeah. I think it's been just like from small gatherings to...
Small gatherings. Let's specifically say names and places. If you have friends' ages, that would be preferred.
I think we're going to skip that part for
now. Have you actually heard that in like a small, intimate gathering?
Yeah. I mean, in Florida, but maybe not DC, you know, progressive DC, but you know, if you go down south, that's how it goes.
When people find out that you spent time in Florida, do you feel ashamed, proud,
conflicted? Depends. Some people are very much about like the weather in Florida, and that's all they care about. And some people don't really get just how weird and all kinds of random conversations you might have in Florida, including I'm not racist, but.
Okay, fair enough. So we are not based in Florida. We are recording this in Washington, D.C. British Young Things is a site that's based out of Washington, D.C., and we occasionally cover things in the great cities of Chicago and New York City and no Florida. Armando, yes. Do you think British Young Things should expand to Florida to cover the arts and culture of the local Florida scene, the local Florida talent?
I don't think you guys will be able to keep up with it.
Because there's so much.
Yes.
Are you being sarcastic right now? I cannot tell.
Maybe.
Okay, fair enough. So the reason why I wanted you on this week's show is another one of the features that we had is 17 best photographs of 2017 that appeared on Brightest Young Things. Now, this is a post that my boss, Svetlana, and assistant editor Kaylee and I go over, and it takes a very long time, and we come up with roughly 50 photographs, and then we send very passive-aggressive emails back and forth to each other to whittle it down to 17, and no one's ever happy. So that's how I know that this is a good post.
Yeah.
And you're part of this post.
I am.
You're the last photo in this post.
Just found out.
But more importantly than that, I want to go through the post with you. We're not going to describe how photographs look because that's silly. And I realize that some people are blind and they listen to audio. And I would like to say, I am sorry. This is not your show. That being said, we're going to try our damnedest and hopefully you'll enjoy this somewhat. So one of the first things that we shot and covered a lot of in 2017 were protests. The biggest one being the most peaceful one. Over half a million people with zero arrests were at the Women's March in Washington, D.C. on January 21st, 2017. Now, you shot that as well.
Yeah, I work 14 hours nonstop.
So when you're packing a bag for 14 hours, what are the essentials? What should a novice bring?
Given the fact that the day before, there were plenty of arrests,
274. And Armando's referring to the inauguration of Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
Our great dear leader who has never done anything wrong, and we love him the most because he pays our bills. Does he pay our bills? I don't know. Could he shut this down? Whatever. Who cares? Anyways, do you think he's ever heard of a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. So you covered the January 20th inauguration
as
well.
Yes, I did.
You covered the protest. You covered the J20 protest.
Yep.
Were you worried at all that you were going to get arrested during the J20 protests?
Yes, I was. But also, whenever there's big protests, they usually give journalists some kind of hotline that they can call.
Okay.
Either Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press Committee or some kind of national Reporters Freedom organization. So I had it with me just in case that happened. And since I got arrested before that, I can already know the drill.
Sure.
That said, DC police is really kind to journalists most of the time,
okay.
I would say.
Now, how do you get that phone number?
They usually just send it to you. You know,
okay.
There's some kind of list of, you know, if you're one of a member of one of the organizations, they usually just send you, you know, things that you should keep in mind for this kind of big protest, because everybody and their mother was here for the protest, basically.
Yeah. So you were covering that for...
Fusion.
For Fusion. Okay. So when you're covering something for an organization like Fusion or Al Jazeera, and there potentially might be some legal issues, how do they have your back? Or do they have your back?
That is a great question. I think the biggest thing is really just having a relationship with the editor.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, you're just an employee.
Okay.
So, you know, in my case, when I got arrested before, the editors and I have been working for months together. Mm-hmm. So, like, they were like, we'll take care of you. And they did. But I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, ideally that would be the case, but you're on your own at the end of the day.
Sure.
What I mean by that is if you get arrested, the first couple of hours, you might not have access to calling your editor or somebody else. So, like, you got to be prepared to be able to get out of the situation or at least make your case whatever way it is through as a, you know, press member.
Have you ever shot something and you regretted being in the place due to potential criminal activity on your behalf? Like, could you be in trouble for something that you didn't do just for being at the wrong place at the exact right time?
Sure. And that's exactly what happened with J20 people, right? But they got acquitted, at least the first six right now.
And it took 11 months and not everyone's done.
Yeah.
Were you close to being arrested on January 20th?
Well, lucky for me, nobody told me that was happening until way later. So by the time I got there, the kettle was already, it already happened. So people already were kettled and the arrests had already were in process at this moment. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't, but if I would have been called earlier, I'm sure I would have gotten arrested. So.
What's the difference? What was the feeling of shooting on January 20th on the mall versus January 21st on the mall?
Well, so the 20th, I work for 17 hours nonstop. I woke up at 3, was down there at 3:30. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, January 20th was just like nonstop. Mm-hmm. You know, there were so many blockades of entry points through protests inside of the actual, you know, area where they were. They're having the inauguration. So it was just basically nonstop, you know. And nevertheless, the day after was also kind of nonstop, but it was more chill.
Okay.
And there were so many people. So, like, it was a different kind of mood. In J20, you have to kind of, like, check on Twitter. At least that's what I was doing. Checking on Twitter and just, like, or getting, like, conversations from people that I trust or some kind of source and then just running to somewhere. Mm-hmm. On Women's March, it was just kind of like you get to pick your space and then you were there for as long as you needed to be because you couldn't just run around. There were just so many people that wasn't an option, really.
You've covered, it's fair to say you've covered over 100 events like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever covered an event that was fuller? It doesn't have to be in the States.
Okay. I mean, I didn't cover it. I was going to say inauguration 2008.
Okay.
But I didn't cover that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on from January. The 2017 post features about 1 to 2 posts a month. We try to make it even. One of the things that we covered was behind the scenes. We've done a lot of behind the scenes shots. One that I absolutely adore is at the Washington National Opera's Madame Butterfly. It was at the Kennedy Center, and Kate Warren did these shots. You've shot a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips? There's going to be a lot of tips and tricks in this episode, everybody. Do you have any tips for photographers when they're trying to get some behind-the-scenes shots that aren't so common?
Sure. The biggest thing, I think, will be, like, look wherever people might not be looking. So, like, sure, you can get the, you know, regular, like, on-stage or behind-the-stage stuff. But like, ask whoever your handler might be. Like, so just ask questions. Like, you know, where do you guys keep the costumes? You know what I mean? Where do you get ready before whatever? So they might just take you to something that wasn't really mm-hmm. part of the original tour per se, but that might have a lot of visuals.
When you are shooting something, do you end up asking a lot of the questions? Because you're a photojournalist. Yeah. Sometimes you're just a photographer.
Right.
So when you and I go to cover something, usually you're just shooting and not asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's something that you think I should be asking as the guy that has to do both occasionally? What should I be asking as the writer to help the photographer?
As a writer?
Yes.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Thank you. Moving on. No.
Yes.
No, no. Is there anything that you think like, oh, I wish Brandon asked this. I wish we can get a photo of this that you just never think of until you leave the space?
Yeah. I mean, that's usually never happens, to be fairly honest with you. Because, okay. I mean, I usually try to cover as many bases as possible. Maybe the biggest thing will be portraits because, like, and that's the thing. Like, whenever there's, like, behind the scenes, for example, with a play, let's say mm-hmm. a play, right? Like, you're going into a space in which they're practicing, they're rehearsing for something. So there's really not that much time out of their, you know, whatever the time is to do whatever. So I would probably say maybe portraits.
Okay.
Like separate, portraits that are, they, you know, allotted time, like let's say 15 minutes or whatever for that itself.
This is probably not something you could easily describe, but it's always fascinating to me. What makes a good portrait? Because I don't know, but I just know when I see a bad portrait.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think will be context. So okay. like whatever you're trying to achieve should be able to give you some kind of contents into the person's life or character or whatever it might be, versus just a regular photo that I'm take of my cousin.
But how are you going to make it look any different than like the Sears photo studio? I don't understand.
Sure. I mean, the biggest thing I think will be, I mean, you got to have a little bit of luck, too. You know, you got to have the space. You got to have some kind of light that might work. But either way, you usually could make it work at least like a decent job. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it would be hard to kind of explain what is it that makes it good, apart from just what I said, which is context. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that you just kind of, like, train your eye to see versus being able to describe it.
All right, that's an abstract question. Let's go with a very concrete question.
Sure.
The next photo in the set that I really, really love is this photo that Franz Marr took at the Library of Congress during a show that British Young Things produced, and it was a Gloria Gaynor concert, and it was wonderful, and it's this wide panoramic shot, and it's mm-hmm. great. Now, the biggest problem with shooting it anywhere, like the Library of Congress, like the Capitol, anywhere that there's a metal detector is it limits you as a photographer of what you could bring in, and it occasionally limits you in what you're quote-unquote allowed to shoot. Mm-hmm. So this is a tangible chip that I want you to give to someone because I don't know. I want to learn from you.
Right.
If someone tells you, hey, you can't shoot there, but you know you totally would get a great shot if you could shoot there, what's the easiest way to work around authority without getting arrested?
The kind of rule of thumb is, you know, it's better to ask, you know, say sorry than to ask for permission.
When we're talking about photography and there's no nudity involved and we're 18 and older.
Yes.
Okay. We should make that very, very clear.
Yes. And the biggest thing I think is do not ask questions. Meaning by that, don't ask your handler, whoever, can I shoot X place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it's kind of like there's like a line that says do not cross. Then mm-hmm. that's a different story, right? But if it's kind of within the same realm of like space that you are within, don't ask that question. Just go whenever it's the right time to go.
So have you brought in like apprentice photographers with you?
No, actually never.
Okay. Have you ever dealt with people in a photo line or whatever, and you have to like tell them like just get the photo, just do the thing, don't listen to them?
Well, what I always think about is like, you know, I'm doing the work that I'm doing now because I learned on my own really on the streets mm-hmm. when Occupy DC first started. So whenever there's somebody that's kind of looks like a newbie or whatever, like I'm always really patient with them because I'm just like, I'm sure like at some point I was that kid.
I also want to make it clear that you did go to school for this as well.
Where'd you go? I got a master's in media, peace, and conflict studies. But I think that
from
the United Nations University for Peace.
Okay, I think that's an incredibly important thing to say into a microphone, not just like, yeah, I was at Occupy.
Sure.
Come on. One is a very difficult school that only has a certain amount of people that helped you travel the world and meet people around the world.
That's true.
One is a bunch of people that live in the suburbs that still don't wear deodorant. I'm throwing shade at people in my head right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's so mean.
No, it's not. Shut up. Okay. The next photo on here is an incredibly cute photo that you don't like. It's a photo of our inside the artist studio, the National Zoo's gray seals. You don't like shooting animals.
I hate shooting animals.
Why?
They are
because it brings joy to everyone.
Yeah, of course, right? They're so hard to like keep up with because they move extremely fast.
Some of them.
Most of them.
Okay.
Unless you're shooting a turtle, why would you shoot a turtle? Anyway,
because turtles are delightful.
Sure. That said,
do you not like animals?
I kind of do not like animals.
You and my mother are the only two people I've ever met that don't like animals. Why don't you like animals?
I like some pets. That's it.
But why don't you like shooting animals?
They just move too fast.
So what?
It's annoying. You have to like deal with, and then like they don't really like do normal things that humans do.
Yeah, because they're animals.
You have to work with that. It's annoying. It's just annoying.
Oh my god! All right, let's move on. You have not shot any drag shows, but you've shot the high heel race.
And run it, yes.
You've ran the high heel race?
Yeah, I had to run it recently because I was doing a 360 video. And
but you were in heels.
I was in heels.
Have you was?
Yes, I haven't seen you. I'll show you the photos.
I would like to see the photos. So this October 2017.
I run it.
You ran... Isn't it November, actually? I apologize.
No, it's October.
It's October? Okay.
Yeah.
So you shot the high heel race this year.
Yes. Yes, I guess you could say that, yes.
Who is this for?
This is for a company called Essential.
Okay. They do 360 videos.
Yes, they do.
I like seeing your 360 videos, I don't know who watches 360 videos.
It's a great question.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it depends on the audience. You know, like the New York Times has a daily 360 video nowadays. So like the New York Times people like it, whatever their audience might be.
If you weren't shooting 360 videos, would you be watching them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. One of the things that we do every month or so is Johnny Graves does a Hidden in Plain Sight feature. And my favorite one he did this year is actually about his time on tour. And he's got this beautiful landscape, 3 Days in the Desert by Johnny Graves. And he's got a lot of really pretty landscapes this year. You've shot a lot of landscape photography.
I have. I kind of hate it, but yes.
Why do you hate it?
It doesn't move. I mean, it doesn't do a thing.
So wait, you don't like animals because they move too much. You don't like landscapes because they don't move.
The sweet point for moving is people, humans.
Okay.
That's it.
What is your favorite thing to shoot?
Protest.
Why?
I don't know, man. It's just the mood. Just like, I find it fascinating. I mean, I study political science. That's another thing, mm-hmm. right? So like, I am very much about the First Amendment and the rights of the people to express themselves, whatever way it is. And I thought, you know, when I first moved to DC, I thought it was fantastic about how you could literally go to the mall every day and there's going to be a protest or in front of the house every single day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different reasons why people are protesting. Sometimes they're a little more extreme than others. But, you know, it speaks of the essence of what, to me, you know, America is about, which is freedom of whatever.
But you've also shot a lot of concerts for us.
I have.
You shot LCD Sound System at the Anthem. I really like that photo set.
Thank you.
Why do the concert stuff?
Well, the concert is a little interesting because you usually have 3 songs to shoot, mm-hmm. and that's it, right? Or 2 sometimes even. So like
for the listener at home that might not know this, the way it works is there's usually a bar,
yes.
a photo pit. So that's at 9:30 Club, the Anthem, most every club in America. Mm-hmm. And like Armando says, you usually get 3 songs, the first 3 songs. It's not randomly 3 songs. Every once in a while, there's an artist that is
and
like...
And no flash.
And usually no flash. Nine out of 10 times, no flash.
Yes.
And then every once in a while, there's a very strict or odd artist. Like when I went to Marilyn Manson and I shot Marilyn Manson, 1 song. Because there were so many set changes, and then like they drop a giant curtain, et cetera.
Right.
For St. Vincent, which is interesting, that's also part of our 2017 Best 17 Photos, it was only the last 2 songs of the first set
mm-hmm.
and the first 2 songs of the second set, which I've never heard of before. So you didn't even get your first photo until like an hour in.
Wow.
So Foo Fighters is another example. When we were at Black Hat, when they yes. played Black Hat, no front row photography, you could shoot from the sound booth.
Yeah.
You've shot stuff for us at Verizon Center or Capital One Arena, whatever it's called now, and you've had to shoot from the pit.
Yeah. That works.
Okay, that works. So I don't know if people realize that. Like when you go
it's
to a
huge,
show,
though.
9 out of 10 times, you're only going to have people in front of you for those first 3 songs, and they're going to go away, and it's fine.
That's it.
Okay. Do you have any tips for concert photography that you've learned from conflict photography?
Yeah. The biggest thing is don't look down at your camera that often. Because, like, you know, whenever you're shooting a protest, you have at least an hour, probably 30 minutes at least, I would say, to shoot whatever. When you're shooting concerts, you really have 3 songs and that's it. And they pass faster than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, don't keep checking down on your camera. Just shoot, and then think about whatever. And, you know, maybe the first couple, just make sure that, you know, whatever light it's working on, you know, they have on the stage, like, it works for your camera and, like, you have the right settings. But apart from that, you know, it's just shoot as much as you can.
Where's your favorite place to shoot a show in D.C. or the world?
Man, I'll say probably Cuba.
Okay, why?
Cuba's just full of stories anywhere you really go. In a way that, you know, and the other thing is, like, Cuban people just are so open to kind of like, yeah, come on in. Like, you want to see some whatever? Like, we'll walk you through it. Mm-hmm. While in other countries, you have more of a, you know, well, we cannot let you do that. We need to talk to, you know, and this is like, it just gets convoluted. You don't want to talk to whoever. You just want to go and shoot the story. While in Cuba, you just kind of ask people, and then they'll ask people in within 5 minutes, like, you are in, and that's it.
What's the opposite of that? What's the most standoffish place you've ever shot?
Huh. Well, okay. There's a venue in D.C., I won't name, that does not have a photo pit.
Oh, Black Hat?
No. Can I say it?
Yeah, you could say
okay.
it.
Okay. The Hamilton.
Oh, the Hamilton.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I shot there one concert probably a year ago or so, and that was the last thing I did ever there.
Really?
They don't have a photo pit, and they are really picky about the three songs. And I'm like, I'm not on the photo pit. So, like...
That's interesting. Yeah. So, the Hamilton is an interesting venue because it's in... Yeah. Number one, it's in a basement.
Yes.
So, that's already odd. Number two, about half the shows are seated.
Yeah.
If they're not seated, they're a mixture of standing and seated.
Exactly. That's most of the case.
So, I understand why there's no photo pit. Because yeah. if there's like tables in front, sure. I get that.
I get that too.
But the artist knows,
yeah,
like what the deal is. And by the way, I don't think that you're throwing any shade here because it's an artist to artist decision.
Okay, fair enough.
This is not there's never any venue rules for this because it's up to the artist.
Well, in this case, I specifically talked to the venue person and they were like, we can only let you do three songs. And I'm like, yeah, but like there's no photo pit. So like I'm really
So you wanted to do the whole show?
Yeah.
With the people at the Hamilton on this.
Come on.
You were the bad person on that.
Okay, fine.
Okay, what's the worst place outside of the U.S. you've ever had to shoot?
That's a great question. Let's see. I'm trying to think. The worst... Well, actually, Peru, like, which is where I'm from.
What was so bad about Peru?
Well, not Peru only, but other places. You know, sometimes you have to kind of worry about your surroundings more than usual. And by that, I mean like somebody come in and like rob you.
So theft.
Yes, exactly.
You've had to worry about theft in Peru more than in the States.
I mean, going to a place, yes.
Okay.
You know, because you're going through some shady areas and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any specific bags you would recommend for people that are worried about their gear being stolen?
Yeah. Don't wear like a camera bag. Wear like a tote bag and just like wear some sandals or something that makes you look, you know, like you have nothing.
See, when I hear tote bag and sandals, I think a tourist.
It depends.
Okay.
You can, you know, make it more or less touristy. Or whatever people are wearing, just, you know, bring that. Don't bring like a camera bag or anything that like draws attention to you, basically.
The last photo I want to talk about is from our 2017 best 17 photos is the photo that you shot. You and I covered this. It was John Cena reading to children at the Library of Congress. He was reading the story of Ferdinand because he plays the voice of Ferdinand in the new movie Ferdinand. Mm-hmm. It's about a bull named Ferdinand.
Yep.
And John Cena makes children very happy.
He
does. The photo that you captured is just so about a dozen schoolboys, very, very, very happy. All ages, not all ages, roughly the same age, all races, some of them doing the you can't see me hand. John Cena is looking directly at you. The kids are not. I love this photo.
Thank you.
You've shot celebrities in addition to Occupy people whose parents pay their rent. So, what do you have any tips for shooting celebrities?
Oh, man, those are tricky ones.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, usually the same thing, right? Just shoot them. But, like, sometimes they are a little bit kind of weird. Actually, now I can throw some shade to Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey was weird. When did you shoot Kevin Spacey?
When they had the premiere for House of Cards season number one.
Oh,
at the museum. Nobody cared about House of Cards because just coming out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and it was like, what the hell is this thing? And, you know, Spacey comes in. And, of course, like, everybody's like, Kevin Spacey's about to come out. So, like, you know, we started taking photos of the step and repeat. And there's this one photojournalist that is like taking a photo from the bottom, and he was a little bit shorter than everybody else.
The photojournalist.
Yes.
Okay.
And Spacey is like, "Are you trying to get my nostrils or something?" Like he like called him out in a really rude way, and then he was like, "No, you know, just like moving around and whatnot." And then eventually, he called him out again. He was just like, "You want to make me look like you know, like fat or something?" And everybody was just like, what do we do here? You know what I mean? So, like, you know, that would be the only one story I will say that was, like, the most, you know, out of everybody.
Well, really I was rude. With you when you were shooting John Cena, and I can say John Cena was a delight.
He was a delight. He was just a wonderful man, willing to take as many photos as needed and talk to us.
All of the children happy.
Yes.
And I would like to point out that this is something I never thought I would ever deal with, but I dealt with it with you when we covered John Cena at the Library of Congress. There were kid journalists there.
That was awesome.
And there were organizations like Washingtonian. I really regret us not doing this. They hired a kid to interview Cena. So
genius.
I just want to make it clear. We shouldn't have to say this into microphones, but I feel like we should. If you are an adult and there's a child, and there's a John Cena-type person, you should let the child have their John Cena time before you get your John Cena time.
Absolutely.
You let the children shoot first. You actually said, hey, kids, do you want to get this shot? Yeah. You are helping the children.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Kevin Spacey did not help the children.
Never.
John Cena helped the children.
He tried to help the children in a different way.
That's a wonderful way to segue into Best Weekend Bet. So we're going to throw it to Jack. He's going to play some wonderful bumper music that sounds like the radio station is melting.
In today's break music, it's called Honeymooners. It's by Kenny Brown, DC native. We'll be right back on BYT Radio.
This is the least computer melting songs you've played thus far. Every week on Brightish Young Things, we produce Best Weekend Bets for Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago, Illinois, and gay Washington, D.C., which is the exact same as regular Washington, D.C., and we need to stop saying the word regular because it makes it sound like the other one is not regular, so I instantly regret saying that. Anyways, it is Thursday, which means it's time for Best Weekend Bets. Best Weekend Bets go live on Brightish Young Things every single week at noon, but you should sign up for our mailing list at brightishyoungthings.com because if you sign up for the mailing list, you'll get them at 9 a.m., and occasionally we have giveaways between 9 a.m. and noon, and you don't get those giveaways if you're not signed up on the list. Occasionally, hopefully in the future, we can give away some cool meet and greet passes for John Cena when he's the voice of a different type of animal in the next animated movie. You never know. Anyways, the premise of Best Weekend Bets is quite simple. We recommend roughly 10 things in each city or scene to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that weekend. Hence the name Best Weekend Bets. So we're going to each give picks for today, Thursday, December 28th. Armando, what is your pick for tonight, Thursday, December 28th?
I forgot.
Jesus, it's The Roots. You wanted to recommend The Roots.
Oh, yes, that's right. The Roots at the Fillmore in Silver Spring.
Have you ever shot at the Fillmore?
No, never, actually.
It's a weird spot.
I heard.
It's not bad. It's not good. It's just very odd.
Wasn't that when Franz got his camera broken?
No, I think that was at a Loud Boys show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
In other words, we used to cover a lot of shows and then all of our photographers' cameras were destroyed. And now yes. We just take Instagrams of each other.
Awesome.
I'm going to recommend Easy Buckets Comedy Show. I rarely recommend comedy shows, but the reason I'm recommending this is current LA comic, former DC comic, Jamel Johnson is back for the holidays and he is hosting that show and he is a wonderful, very, very funny man. So that's my pick for that. And then my other pick for tonight, speaking of John Cena, is Nova Pro. It's Nova Pro Wrestling.
Oh.
It returns to the Annandale Fire Department.
Whoa.
So you could see an indie wrestling show in a fire department.
Are the firefighters wrestling?
They are not wrestling.
Got it.
I don't know. That would actually be not the worst gimmick. So,
I think that would attract a lot of people.
Nova Pro, in addition to occasionally doing this at the Annandale Fire Department, does it at the local JCC,
yep.
Which is the Jewish Community Center. So one of their shows was a cage match at the JCC. So they put some wrestlers in cages at the Jewish Community Center.
Jesus Christ.
So that was maybe not the most... Maybe
kosher?
That was actually...
That wasn't kosher.
That wasn't kosher. Actually, that's more funny than anything I could say. Armando, what is your pick for Friday?
Les Mis at the National Theater.
Have you actually... Oh, God. I don't know why you're recommending Les Mis, but it's because
it's a classic.
Just because it's a classic doesn't make it good.
Hey, it's a chill weekend.
It is a chill weekend. It's time to go see Les Mis.
Yes.
It's time to question gender and sexual identity and war with your family at Les Mis.
You could do that.
Speaking of questioning your gender and sexuality with your family, I'm going to recommend Queer Girl Movie Night at the Black Cat.
Awesome.
Similar reasons to the reasons Armando is recommending Les Mis. I'm also going to recommend hip-hop legend Rakim at the Howard Theater. Have you ever shot anything at the Howard Theater?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, the Howard Theater is fantastic because they let you shoot as long as you need to.
Yeah, they do.
For whatever time.
Maybe so, they shouldn't.
Maybe they should because nobody cares.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
That's it.
I'm kind of surprised the Howard Theater is still around.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, exactly.
Under new management?
We can't really get into it now and do it justice. So what I'd recommend to
go do... Go Google it.
Don't just Google it. Go to the Washington Post. The Washington Post has been the best at documenting what the hell's been going on at the Howard Theater for the past few years. British Young Things actually threw one of the first events ever at the newly renovated Howard Theater about 7 years ago.
Awesome.
We also had a gay holiday party at the Howard Theater not too long ago featuring Carmen Carrera, made famous on RuPaul's Drag Race.
That sounds like your kind of thing.
That is exactly my kind of thing. So Saturday, December 30th, what are your picks?
My pick is Illusionist at the Kennedy Center.
You like bad things.
I love magic.
Do you really like magic?
Oh, I love magic.
Okay, why?
Because it's just like mind blowing.
Okay, is it?
It's good magic.
Yes. Do you know what sleight of hand means? It's
sure,
just, it's a trick.
That's fine. The thing is, like, I want to catch them doing it.
Why don't you just learn the tricks?
No, that takes away the magic, man. It's kind of like Santa Claus.
No,
you don't learn that Santa Claus does not exist. Somebody has to tell you.
That's what learning is.
I'm done with that.
You're done with learning?
Sure.
Do you think photographs capture your soul?
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut up and now talk on this podcast. So, I'll recommend, what am I going to, I'm going to recommend Tennis and Incredible Change at Comet Ping Pong. So the last show of 2017, which is not a big deal at all because it's December 30th, 2017. Yep. I'm recommending this show because in addition to the music, Incredible Change is a great band, no pun intended. Comet Ping Pong has had quite a year.
Yeah, it has.
Did you cover any of the Pizzagate stuff?
I did not. It's kind of far.
It is kind of far, yeah.
You're
not
excuse.
Absolutely wrong. No, for those listening to know what we're talking about, Pizzagate was a made-up thing where people believe that there was a sex child dungeon in a basement of a pizza shop, and then a real-life adult man brought a real-life gun to a pizza shop full of families.
So,
and we were, British Young Things and many other organizations were...
kind of pulled into it.
We were pulled into it. We wrote an extensive piece, Google Pizzagate, British Young Things, and you'll see our extensive piece on the matter. I highly, highly recommend it. It's a great explainer of what it all meant and how it changed Washington, D.C. Another thing I'm going to recommend is Spoon at 9:30 Club.
Awesome.
Spoon is also playing there New Year's Eve. You might not want to go out for New Year's Eve. I don't blame you.
Go out.
Okay, there were different people.
Yes, we are.
All right, so Sunday, December 31st, before we give our picks for Sunday, December 31st, do you like that New Year's Eve is on a Sunday, or are you indifferent?
I guess I kind of like it because it extends the Monday.
Okay.
Free I get that. Day.
Okay, but
that's it.
Won't it be better next year when it's on a Monday? Because most people won't work Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, but that's kind of different.
Yeah, I understand that. It's literally
go back
different.
To work on Tuesday.
You like the Tuesday back to work, not the Wednesday super short week.
No, no, no.
Okay,
no.
I'm just giving you the option. What is your pick for Sunday?
Go out. That's my main thing.
Go out. Where have you spent a New Year's Eve in Washington, D.C.?
I usually go have a dinner with my friends, and then we just go and party somewhere.
You just go to like bar hop
and stuff.
Like
a dance house party.
You go to a house party.
Yeah, the best way.
How long do these house parties go? I'm a few years older than you, so I don't want to do any of this anymore.
I was at my house, and it was on until like 4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning.
And I wanted to keep going, but people were tired. So.
You don't use the drug cocaine?
I do not.
That's interesting.
I do not use any drugs. That's a true statement.
I understand that. How many people do you think were in your house at 4:30 that also wanted to have it keep going that were using the drug cocaine?
Zero.
You're a liar.
I'm sure.
What other drugs?
I don't know.
Okay.
Question mark?
Oh, God. You're not even naming names. Why are you so afraid? Okay, give your picks for New Year's Eve.
Thievery Corporation, Gogo Bordello, Trouble Funk. That sounds like a great thing to do.
I can't disagree with you. That's like the most DC thing to do with Trouble Funk and Thievery Corporation.
Absolutely.
Gogo Bordello, if you've never seen him live, is only good live. Actually, the records are perfectly fine. It's just they're a live band.
It sounds like you're just going to have a lot of fun.
It does sound like you're going to have a lot of fun.
And he said the Anthem, which has a lot of space to move around, dance, have
wonderful
some
place
beers.
To dance, but here's the problem. It's at the Wharf.
No, it's at the Anthem.
Which is on the Wharf.
Yes.
Okay, that's the Wharf. So, no, I get it. All right, my pick for...
you can take a Via there, an Uber.
See, okay, you're the only person I know that takes Via. Did you take a Via here?
I did.
I saw a Via, and I was like, that's got to be him.
That was me.
Please, let's give our annual Via plug of 2017. What the hell is a Via?
Via is like Uber Pool or Lyft, Pool, whatever it's called. But it drops you off like probably a block away from where you need to go, making it more better for you to like get into the routes of the regular drivers. But it only costs $4 or $3 to get from like, you know, Adams Morgan or Columbia Heights to Capitol Hill.
Because no one is taking it.
And you are by yourself. And you're paying like nothing.
It's a really good idea.
Or you could get a monthly pass, like I have, pay $99, and you're good to go for like ever.
So do you take more Vias because you have the monthly pass?
Yeah, I make an effort to be like, well, I have a Via pass now. So
you have a Via
well
pass. Why aren't you going to Comet Ping Pong more often?
Doesn't cover that area, I think.
Does it? Are you serious? It doesn't cover all areas?
It doesn't cover all areas. This is the one thing that should get better.
Okay, so where does it cover?
Almost everything, every Northwest.
Except
some
Chevy
Northeast.
Chase.
Yeah, that's like kind of not DC anymore.
It's still DC.
It's still DC. Please do not. Sorry about that, guys.
No, don't apologize.
I apologize to Chevy Chase people that are listening to us right now.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to recommend a party and a food thing. I'm going to recommend Tilt Sidebar. Have you been to Tilt?
No. On the 31st?
On the 31st. So Tilt.
That sounds insane.
Tilt is in the back of Blackjack. Have you been to Blackjack?
Yes.
Okay. In the back of Blackjack, there's this very small bar about the size of the room we're sitting in and double that. So it's about, I don't know, 20 feet wide by like 40 feet. So it's a relatively small room,
mm-hmm.
and it's like in the back of a different bar. So if you want to feel like VIP exclusive without spending Ooh. VIP exclusive money.
Great date.
Tilt Sidebar. That actually is a great date.
Think about it.
I just did, and you're right.
Thank you.
A not great date for the meat eaters, which is me.
Yeah.
I'm recommending Jack Rose, which is in the neighborhood of Adams Morgan. If you're listening to this in the hotel, hi, Jack Rose is around the corner. They're very good. If you have no idea, Jack Rose is at roughly 14th and 18th in Florida.
Yep.
Okay? I'm recommending Jack Rose because they have four different parties.
Whoa.
Okay. So that you could do whatever kind
How
of thing.
How much is it?
It depends on the thing you go to. I'm specifically recommending the Pig Roast.
Oh, yeah.
Which goes from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So it's not all night, but it is all pig you can eat, all beer you could drink.
Amazing.
That's a good idea
That's
if you want to do like, I want to put my Chill. Heart in the worst possible position
sure.
for the new year.
Yep.
And I want to eat all of the pig and drink all of the beer.
Would
I'm
you go out
that.
After that?
I mean, I wouldn't go out after that, but you can.
Okay.
If you are going to go out.
Yeah.
Probably the Rock and Roll Hotel has the best all-inclusive party.
Huh.
It's their annual party. It sells out in advance every year. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably sold out. But it's a good idea because it's all three levels. So once again, it's sort of like a pick your own party, which to me at this point at 35 is not a good idea.
Yeah.
At all whatsoever. If you would like more picks, go to brightestyoungthings.com. In addition to our six bars, six places to eat, and six parties, 666 for 2018, we also have bars that are just bars on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you have that.
We do.
The Wonderland.
The Wonderland is just a bar, which makes me love it.
Me too.
Are you going to be there on New Year's Eve? You might end up there.
I might end up there. That's a great way to put it. And knowing me, yes, that's probably what will happen.
Do you have any plugs for the week ahead? Is there anything in 2018 that you're looking forward? Do you have any resolutions?
Mueller. That's what I'm looking for.
You're looking forward to Mueller.
Yep.
Oh, if I've learned anything from my 35 years on this planet and the history of the FBI is they never let anybody down. They've just been great. They've never said anything
especially
or done anything bad. They've
minorities.
Never hurt anyone. So it's going to be I definitely would put my faith in them. I'm going to do the same thing I do every year, which is
But Mueller is not acting as an FBI agent.
I'm going to try to read.
Thank you.
52 books and watch 104 films. I think that's what I'm going to do this year. I did it this year. It was great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I watched a lot of documentaries about how the FBI was a bastion of hope and justice.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back here next Thursday at noon. We are here every Thursday at noon and on a podcast feed if you know how to use those. I would like to thank Armando Gallardo. Follow him on
thank
Twitter.
You.
It's okay.
Mando, M-A-N-D-O.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening. About